Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Oley Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Oley Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
Oh, we're back. What's up? Hello, I am Jay Fratt. I'm coming live and direct from the Positive Intentions Media Studios here in Olympia, Washington. I'm with my biggest and best co-host, tag team partner, Erica Engelhart. What's up, Erica?
What's going on, Jay?
Nothing. I'm in a bit of a daze because I've been fighting off a minor cold, but I've been going through all of these legislative processes and learning all about these procedures. What an exciting life. I had no idea when I was 20-something that I would be living on the edge like this.
I know. I'm getting over a cold myself, too. I don't know what it was this past week, but that doesn't stop all the activity going on. There's been a lot going on this week, so it's kind of exciting.
Erica, tell me about your younger self. I was trying to make a joke there about Frizzle Fried Frat smoking the cannabis, drinking all the drinks when he was in his 20s, probably never imagining that he would be living such an exciting life as diving into the legislative process. Tell me about young Erica Engelhart. Would she have saw what she was to become?
Oh, no. I wanted nothing to do with politics. It was boring. It was not in my, not in my sight at all. I had zero interest. But, as time went on, I started realizing that whether I'm interested or not, it still affects me. So here I am.
See what they've done to us. See what they've done. They've gone so far that they've grabbed highly capable people that were just minding their own business, living the American dream. They've gotten us up off that damn couch, out of our campsites, and now we're camped out at the legislature.
What happened?
One thing that happened was we had people that were telling us that we didn't select enough bills at the beginning of the session, that most our bills would go nowhere and we should select more bills. Well, I think you and I did a fantastic job because the tally right now is of the 12 bills we started tracking at the beginning of this legislative session, 5 are dead. So 5 didn't make the cut. They didn't make it out of committee, dead. 4 have passed their house of origin, and 3 are currently waiting to be pulled on the floor for debate and a vote. I'd say that's a pretty good percentage, and no wonder we were feeling so overwhelmed. Our bills had a lot of activity.
They did, and even with the bills that have been cut or the bills that have died, it still feels kind of like we're juggling the ones that are left over with all the different activity going on. For example, a couple of our bills in these last couple days just went to a vote and passed SB 5123 and also SB 5098 both passed. But I wish I would have known when they were going to go to the floor because I would like to, watch that whole process of the bills we're tracking. But it's hard to figure that out. So do we know how to figure out when a bill is going to be called for a vote?
That's why you're the greatest podcast partner there is. That's the big question that we had coming out of the last episode of Oley Insider was we're taking all this time following these bills through committees, understanding what the rules committee is then, when it has a fiscal impact, it's got to go to ways and means on one side or transportation. Anyways, we followed these bills through the committee. Here they are. They've gone to rules now, and they're at the discretion of on the House side, Speaker Jenkins. How do we know? How do we know when our bill that we want to watch live in the debate, how do we know when it goes to the floor? How do we know? Is it put on a schedule, this or that? Well, I was able to go grab Representative Peter Abarno from the 20th Legislative District. He's also in the Republican caucus leadership. I was able to ask him, gosh darn it, how do I know when this bill is going to land? And here's what he's had to say.
Often, even the House Republican caucus doesn't know which bills are going to be pulled to the floor until maybe an hour or two before we're pulling them to the floor. There's a number of different procedures that we go through. For instance, if there's a bill like 1113 that gets pulled to the floor and I have amendments for it, or a member of my caucus does, we can put that bill on hold while we prepare our amendments, put them on the bar, which means send them to the other side and give them to the speaker to release that bill for an actual vote then and get it scheduled for that vote. But often, surprising to the public, we often don't even know what bills are going to be pulled. The speaker pulls those bills right to the floor and gives us that agenda.
All right. So very interesting. No wonder we thought the system was opaque. Not the Republicans in the House don't even know when the a bill is going to come to the floor for debate and for vote. That is completely in control of the majority party.
I find that kind of interesting because, you know, here up to this point in the process, we've been able to follow along with their schedules and, you know, we're aware of when things are going on. So now all of a sudden it's kind of in the dark and it's a surprise not only to us, but apparently to the Republicans as well. So I find that quite interesting.
Yeah, and I learned a little bit more from Representative Abarno. We're going to get to, because this all plays into it's kind of easy to understand when you think the majority party is in control, so they're choosing the schedule. The difficulty from the public standpoint and the minority party standpoint is they don't know that schedule. So that's the advantage of the majority party. And I asked him, because I noticed they were preloading amendments for some of the bills. I took that to mean a bill was going to come to the floor, but clearly that's not what it means. And so I asked him about the strategy and the timing of amendments in a process where you don't even know if the bill is going to come to the floor for debate. Let's hear what he had to say on that.
Well, normally there's a run list. So there'll be a run list of, let's just say, 100 bills. Those are 100 bills that are eligible to be voted on because they've been pulled from the Rules Committee, but they haven't actually been brought to the floor yet for that vote on the agenda. So if it's been pulled from the Rules Committee, then they're eligible to get a vote. That's normally when I start, or a member of our caucus will start working on an amendment with staff, draft them, and when we find out whether or not the speaker is going to actually put it on the floor calendar, that's normally when we get the final amendments drafted, put them on the quote-unquote bar, which is get them to the speaker's dais so that we can actually get them published for the public and the other side, then they're ready to go. So there's strategy depending on what you want to do with the bill as well. There's a bill coming up that's going to have about 38 to 40 amendments on it, and there's other bills that are only going to have one or two. It comes down to whether you like the bill, whether you don't like the bill, whether you're trying to kill the bill, or whether you're trying to actually make it better. There's a lot of different strategies that come into not only how many amendments, what amendments, and when the amendments get dropped.
All right, so Representative Abarno dropping some insights for us on the amendments, how these bills are working when they're out of the public's eye, just sitting, waiting to go to the floor for debate. Very interesting. And we discovered something new, didn't we, Erica?
Yes, we did. So this run list he was talking about, I do think that we can actually see this list. It is on the legislative website. If you just go to their homepage and scroll down slightly, there's a section called floor activity, and there's a House floor activity tab or a Senate floor activity tab. And if you click on one of those, it will pull up this list. And this must be that run list that he's talking about, except it doesn't say run list on it. So I don't know if that's just some terminology they use within, but it is a list of bills that appears to be ready to be voted on whenever the speaker decides to pull it to the floor. But you can look at the long list of bills for each side of the legislature there, and you'll notice that some are bold. And from what we've gathered, those are the ones that were voted on today. And then there's a bunch that are just regular font that are eligible to be pulled to the floor for a vote. So you can see those, but we just don't know at what point they're going to be pulled in, like he explained.
Yeah, yeah. And you can also see the amendments that have been preloaded onto the bills that are waiting. On the left-hand side, I believe it shows the different amendments that have been proposed for each bill.
Yes.
So that's that preloading of the amendments that he was just discussing. All right, the last question I had for him, I was very thankful to get his time. Talking about these amendments, talking about debating each amendment on the floor for a particular bill, it reminded me earlier in the session where the Democrats nuked that like 100 and some odd year old rule that basically allows them to end debate with a simple majority whenever they want. And so I asked if that was a concern as we're talking about strategy of putting amendments into these bills and what they want to do. And I thought his answer was very interesting. Let's go back and hear what he has to say about the hubbub about ending debate and how does that factor into the amendment strategy.
From the House Republican caucus perspective, we are not considering that or taking that into consideration when we're dropping amendments. We are going to proceed as normal. If the House Democrats want to utilize that rule for the first time in 140 years, that would be their prerogative. Most certainly, I think that's a nuclear option, and I don't think the public wants to see either party silence another party or a big swath of the population of the state of Washington by using that. But our strategy is not to consider what the House Democrats are going to do. Our strategy is on the policy itself, and then how we represent our constituents to make either the bill better, to try to kill the bill, or whatever we want to do with that policy itself. But I don't know if we take into consideration the political aspects of it as much as we do the policy.
All right. So interesting answer there. Honest, and it seems... what's the word I'm looking for? He says not political, but policy, but the answer seems politically correct, if you will.
Yes, I do agree with you there. But, you know, I would like to hope that he's right in saying that neither party wants to see the other party silenced. But, you know, like he said, it could happen. So.
Absolutely. Well, that wraps up this issue. I'm happy we were able to answer a question and help everyone kind of come along board as we're learning the details, the processes and procedures of all of this action in Olympia. I think the next episode, we're going to get back to basics, covering these bills in committees, because now we've got bills that have passed the original House of Origin. They've been assigned committees at the other side of the legislature, and we're going to have to give updates on those, and we're going to have to report on what has happened on the floor debate. For example, as Erica pointed out, 5123, SB 5123 just passed today. SB 5098, that just passed yesterday. And we've still got three bills waiting for floor debate. So let's see if I can look at those really quick. 1132, HB 1132, that one is waiting. It's on that run list. HB 1133, that's on the run list, as they would say. And then what's the other one? HB 1113. That's also waiting for floor debate. So we might have some excerpts. We might be able to interview a representative or two regarding some of these bills that we have remaining. How do you feel about it, Erica, from the very point that we started with 12 bills being tracked, 5 are dead, we have 7 remaining. How are you feeling about the process moving forward?
Well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good, but I'm also feeling like we're kind of going to start over for, you know, in some aspects. For example, like our SB 5000 designating Washington the Evergreen State is up for another public hearing on the 14th. So you know, it's, I feel like we're going to kind of do a repeat, but this time at least we know what's going on. We know what to expect. We know where to find the information. And I do think that the pace might pick up here a little bit as well. So I think it'll be quite interesting.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to start doing two a days. No. slow down, Turbo.
Slow down.
So we will be back. We're covering this. We've been here every week of this legislative season, sometimes twice a week. We appreciate you.
Even when we're not feeling well.
Even when we're not feeling well. And I hope you cannot hear it in my voice. But we're signing off. I hope you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you again. If you ever do need to contact us, Erica Engelhart is For the Good on X. That's ForTheGood. And I'm Jay Fratt on X. Have a great week.
Thank you, everybody.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Ole Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oleinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good, Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.